we're live on air now. Welcome back if you've been listening to Radio EduTalk live this morning. We are coming from the e-assessment 2012 conference in Dundee in Scotland, and I've now got in the room here Sheila McNeil and Colin Maxwell. In a wee minute I'm going to ask them to tell us a wee bit about themselves, where they come from, what their interest is in the conference here, and we'll take it from there. Good morning, Sheila. Would you like to dive in first?
Yeah, sure. Hi, my name's Sheila McNeil. I work with JISC CETUS, which is one of the JISC Innovation Support Centres. I'm based at the University of Strathclyde in Glasgow, so it's nice to have a relatively local meeting or conference to come to. We're involved with a number of JISC programmes in terms of providing mainly technical support, and we provide that to the current JISC Assessment and Feedback Programme, so I'm here primarily with an interest in that, and also just to find out what's happening across Scotland and wider from various presentations that are happening today.
Cool. And I'm Colin Maxwell. Yeah, I'm a teacher at Carnegie College. I'm a lecturer there, and I've come along today because I'm interested in everything digital, how I can use digital technologies for supporting students, for doing assessment, for CPD and all that kind of thing as well. It's nice to be back in Dundee because I actually worked at the university for a few months many years ago. I used to work in the labs here where we used to feed rats chocolate and test cholesterol drugs on them. So it's nice to be back here.
And you're talking about MOOCs a wee bit today.
That's right. I've already done my presentation today, half an hour on investigating MOOCs, which are massive open online courses. It's kind of a fairly new phenomenon, but it's getting a lot of press just now about these open online courses that are being offered by, you know, these big American universities, Stanford and MIT and such like. But we've also seen some recent courses being offered by Scottish universities, including the University of Edinburgh. And I'm really interested in how that's developing, because it's kind of a real new area of education, you know, bringing these courses to a massive audience across the world.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting because I've just recently completed the MOOC, which is quite difficult to say, but that was a week-long course just about the whole phenomenon of MOOCs, and that was really interesting as a learning experience for someone like Colin, who's very interested in technology. And there were a lot of things that went through my head, and I tried to blog about my experience, probably not particularly eloquently, but I'm still reflecting on that just now. But there are lots of issues around MOOCs, and particularly in relation to assessment and feedback, because when you have a massive course and you're using all these different online communication channels like Twitter and blogs and VLEs and various things, there is a lot of communication and a lot of feedback in various forms, but it's quite hard to manage. So in terms of being a self-regulated learner, or just actually trying to be part of this massive community, it can actually be very challenging. And I think that's something that needs a lot more investigation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Professor David Boud from Sydney was talking about feedback this morning in today's keynote. And that struck a chord with me, you know, having been looking at these MOOCs and the amount of feedback that you can or can't get, because sometimes you just don't get any because nobody feeds back on what you've done. And sometimes it's very scant, you know, it's not actually useful feedback. And how do you feedback if you've got 1,000 students? You know, I find it, I'm rubbish at feedback, let's face it. I'm pretty poor at feedback, and David's presentation showed me how poor I really am. How do you do that when you've got 1,000 students? Because I struggle with 20 students, you know, giving them quality feedback, you know. So I'm interested to see how people are going to deal with that, you know, in these online courses.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to say, I think that there's sort of a double side of that. There's kind of like how you balance the actually making the connections in quite informal and sometimes quite serendipitous ways as well, that maybe make you feel increase your engagement as a learner and feeling, oh, phew, I'm not completely isolated anymore, but are maybe not helping you with your learning journey, and then actually having some kind of feedback and interaction that actually is having an impact on your learning. And I know my colleague Martin Hoxie, who you were talking to earlier, he's been doing some investigation into some of the tweets from MOOC, and he's been able to map some of the conversations, which is really, really interesting because you can get some nice patterns for one thing. But I'm moving my hands around wildly here, which makes no difference when this is on radio. But when I was looking at it, although it's really interesting from a teacher's point of view because it maybe helps you actually see where conversations are happening and where you can actually maybe start putting some feedback in there at that point. But also as a learner, I'm not sure whether if I saw that, whether that would actually alienate me even more because I wasn't part of that. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that are coming.
It's interesting, so you're kind of saying there's two levels of feedback. Yeah. There's one that kind of maybe keeps you going on the course, but there's also the feedback that relates to like your assessment.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's true, you know, face-to-face or in any kind of educational experience. I think you need that kind of collegiality with your peer group that works at one level and is very important. But then when you try to formalise that in terms of peer assessment, for example, and actually, you know, having an impact on your the formal side of your learning experience, yeah, I think there are different levels there, yeah.
I mean, David earlier was talking about, say, the quality of feedback and saying that was much more important than the system we were using. And I think certainly I tend to get hung up on discussions around, you know, different pieces of software rather than how we do it. And I think, and I'm probably slightly biased because I took part in not quite a massive, but a mini MOOC, I would have said, Colin, that you ran a while ago, and I've dropped in and out of DS106, which is a sort of MOOC, I guess, a mad MOOC maybe, over in the States. And what I've found really valuable about both of those was it felt quite personal. And I wonder then, DS106 is hundreds of people, but it still felt you're in wee cohorts and all the rest of it. I wonder how that scales out to the MOOCs, and I wonder if there's a difference between the sort of loosely joined MOOCs like EdTech CC and DS106 and the ones that are more tightly organised, the commercial sort of ones that we're seeing now. Mm-hmm. And what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd say the loose ones do have that more personal feedback. It was really nice to get personal feedback from the tutor, you know, and okay, it might have occasionally just been, hey, that's awesome,
yeah,
you know, but hey, that was awesome, so I was happy with that. That's an A in my book. I think with some of the more commercial MOOCs, you know, the ones that are looking at kind of commodifying it's automated feedback that you get, which is very impersonal. It's just a robot, you know, and everybody's probably getting the same thing, and you know, you don't feel as part of the club, you know, part of a student group then. So yeah, it'll be interesting to watch how that goes.
I think that, I mean, one of the things in MOOC they had we're talking about the C MOOCs, the more constructivist types of MOOCs like DS106 and the X MOOCs like the MIT and the Coursera and Audacity to an extent. And I think that there is an issue there, but also I think when people are looking at MOOCs and as a commercial proposition, which these big American companies are, you know, they've got a lot of funding behind them, that the only way they can really do things to scale is to take that kind of less personal approach, and it is kind of like almost like factory education, if you like, so that there are sort of differing ways of doing things, and again, you know, maybe that's what some people want. You know, if I want to do a course on artificial intelligence, maybe I just want to be anonymous and I want to hide away and I might not want to have that kind of learning experience. I don't know, it depends, but yeah, I think there are tensions.
My experience of taking part in some of these MOOCs is I have learned something. I might not get a certificate at the end of it that says that I've learned something, but I did. I've enjoyed some of it. There's bits that I didn't like, but that's the same case in any type of education, whether it's online or it's in a classroom.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also, I think for educational practitioners, it's about your practice. And I think if you're quite comfortable being an open practitioner and if you're willing to share and engage with different technologies primarily as well, then I think you will get a lot out of it. And the kind of the feedback on both levels, the formal and the informal, I think is slightly easier. And it's a good way, I think, to get people to think about that, how you are an open practitioner and why you would want to start sharing things and maybe doing it in a slightly different context to your everyday job. So you can maybe start blogging about DS106 or make your radio programme or do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. chimes very much with the last conversation I had about, I don't know what you would call it, sort of amateur learning. We didn't refer to it as that, and I always quite like the idea of instead of professional development, having amateur development. And I think then if you're relaxed and you're open, maybe there's
it takes
a
pressure
that.
Off, doesn't
yeah.
it?
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
So, okay, I'm just going to round it up there because I'm getting signals from the door again. We've got other people queued up. Can I say, Sheila, thanks very much. Colin, thank you for talking to us. This will be listened to hopefully live at the moment, but it will also be archived on the podcast. If you are listening live, I'll be back in a few minutes. And if you are listening live, you may have to refresh your browser as we change from AutoDJ to live stream. If you're listening in the browser, can I suggest if you are that it might be worth clicking one of the icons on the page and opening up iTunes or Windows Media Player or QuickTime for a smoother listening experience. See you in a minute.